Our Toronto Blue Jays, 13-11. They have won their last four series, tied 1-1 against the Royals in a four-game set at Kauffman Stadium. Midweek four-game series. I kind of like it. It ensures the Thursday has a ball game. They love to put that off day in that Thursday and make us all wait, but not with a four-game series in Kansas City. You got to play that. Of course, it is a noon Mountain Time game, right? 2 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
Right in the dead center of when people are working. So most folks don't like it. Now, if you are just a comedian who works Friday and Saturday nights, oh boy, a Thursday afternoon ball game. Very exciting stuff. Hello and welcome everybody to the Walk Off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. This is a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon, done on a Wednesday. Look at us. You cannot tie us to a schedule.
Not tied down, buddy.
Not tied down. We do this every single week, where we comb through all of your interaction and then we answer your questions, answer your comments. YouTube, we do comb through those comments. I made a point of grabbing a couple of those today. I know we were given shit recently that we never take any of the YouTube comments anymore. This has become a Patreon exclusive. Everything's behind a paywall. Listen, almost nothing is behind a paywall, but you do get a Patreon perk, a bump, if you will, on mailbag if you're going to throw us $4 a month. Shekels is probably the wrong way, but
probably racist, you know, $4. Actually,
probably very racist. We have just had a few Patreon members jump off now. Yeah. After the shekels comment, $4 a month, and that is going to get you instant access to all of our content, early access to our interviews. It's going to give you access to MLB Mondays, which is behind a paywall. Oh, no. You also have access to Discord, which is always happening and a fun place to just interact with Jays fans pretty much at any time of the day. There's all different kinds of time zones there, so things are happening in that chat pretty regularly. I know Adam and I were talking before we even hit record here that there is a substantial number of folks who are literally paying the $4 a month just for Discord. So that's how happening it is. They just like to talk baseball all the time, and their family and friends get annoyed by it. We all have those family and friends who we annoy constantly with our baseball chatters. So a nice safe space in Discord. Twitter, you can send us a message at Walk Off Podcast. You can shoot us a message on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. We're always checking through the Discord as well, so you can kind of leave your comments there, and we'll go from there. All right. On that note, let's get into it.
Addison Barger called up. Is it official? As close to it's going to be. Until it's official?
So,
by the time I get done editing this and publish this, I'm sure it's official.
Yeah, I think it will probably be official by the time that this is released. Now, Kevin Kiermaier struggling with his knee, I think it was. I did have Keegan Matheson's report on it here. Okay. Either way, Kevin Kiermaier has an injury. Not 100% sure if they're going to put him on the 15-day IL yet, but it is looking that way as he will take some time to get off his feet. There is going to be a call-up. Addison Barger does look like the guy, friend of the show, Johnny G of Gate 14. He is well-connected with the Buffalo Bisons. He called the Ernie Clement call-up, the Spencer Horowitz call-up, the Davis Schneider call-up. He goes golfing with these guys. So he has tweeted out, Johnny sources, that Addison Barger is going to get the call up. I think it's pretty safe to say that's probably the way to go. Addison Barger having a heck of a start to his AAA season. You got those numbers, Adam, to get us all excited that maybe we have an actual hitter coming to this lineup?
Right now in AAA this year, I mean, last year was kind of a down season offensively, struggled with injuries, but this season through 19 games, He's got a 314 batting average, a 435 on base percentage, and a slugging of 581. Good for an OPS of 1,021. Three home runs to go with 10 doubles and 22 hits.
Oh my God, a slugging percentage in the 500s. Yes, please. Holy shit. I didn't know it existed with this team.
Feels that way, doesn't it?
Oh man.
Addison Barger has played 11 games at third base in Buffalo this season and six mm-hmm. in right field, three at DH. So,
yeah. So it is looking like Addison is probably going to be the safe call up there to cover positions for Kiermaier. That would move Dalton Varsho to center field. George Springer probably staying put in right, and then they will alternate Davis Schneider and Addison Barger and Kevin Biggio and IKF. They all can play left field, so I think we'll see a little bit of a merry-go-round in left field until Kevin Kiermaier is healthy and back. And honestly, this is a great opportunity for Addison Barger to make his MLB debut, to come into a Blue Jays lineup that needs some, I mean, power would be nice, but even some situational hitting would be really welcome for this team. Runners in scoring position once again seems to be the Achilles heel of this team. We watched it be the downfall of the Toronto Blue Jays until about the middle of August last year. They kind of corrected at the end of the season. Not that it mattered come the wild card game where they scored a total of one fucking run. So can Addison Barger be the medicine that fixes our ailment? I don't know. It's a lot to put on a 25-year-old coming up for the first time, going to be donning a Blue Jays uniform as he makes his MLB debut. Very exciting stuff for him. Again, this is all unofficial, although as you're listening to this, it's probably official. Johnny G, Gate 14, Johnny Sources coming out and saying that it looks like it is going to be Addison Barger.
The other fellow in contention would be Aurelvis Martinez, the 22-year-old who is offensively dominated every level he's attended.
Mm-hmm.
In AAA this year, hitting .333. You like the 500 slugging percentage? How's pushing 700? 681
yes, please.
From Aurelvis Martinez. Six home runs, seven doubles in 18 games. Biggest problem with Aurelvis is defensively, he's a bit of a...
He's a question mark. Defensively, he is a very big question mark.
Look,
right
now,
it doesn't really matter where you put him.
He is... He's playing second base this year. Which is, I mean, where you go if your defense isn't good enough to play DH. Mm-hmm. And five errors already this season at second base. Mm. That's not good for Elvis. So he's got to get that sorted out. But otherwise, I still think we could see Elvis this year if he continues to hit like that. I mean,
if he continues to hit like that, hopefully we see him in May.
Well, listen, I'm going to push back on that, because for me, I think we only see him if Justin Turner has bad tacos. Justin Turner, I think, got that DH spot locked up. He's one of our best hitters going right now. I don't care to see his bat out of the lineup. I also don't care to see his defensive abilities in the infield. Right? So, I mean, you just listed.
And do we need
Clement,
and do we
Schneider.
Need another, do we need another second baseman? Yes.
Right. So, I'm happy with anyone else playing infield except for Justin Turner, but I don't want Justin Turner's bat out of the lineup. So until that changes, Aurelvis Martinez can figure out how to play second base all year long. But Justin Turner's old, so it could happen.
It could happen.
His
and
bat
I mean,
cools off.
Vladdy, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I was sitting with a guy in San Diego who bragged about the fact that the San Diego Padres have a shortstop playing almost every position, right? He's like, that's the thing with Preller. He loves shortstops because they're the most athletic guys on the field, and then you can just sprinkle them wherever you need them. And I said, that's great. The Blue Jays have a guy who can have and will play second base sometime throughout this season. In fact, they have a team full of them. We've kind of gone the other way with Toronto. We've taken a bunch of second basemen. We've scattered them throughout the field, right?
What's that? You have speed and a good glove, but no arm? Want to play anywhere for us? Oh, man.
Obviously, we're joking. The Blue Jays one bright spot this year has been their defense, and they have been very good at it. But it is funny how many of these players can, will, and have played second base at some point.
I will say, though, as team. Barger, I'm really excited to see, because I am such a not a believer in him.
Mm-hmm.
The hype was there 2 seasons ago. I'd never heard of the kid before.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden there was all this clamoring for this kid who was tearing it up. And I was skeptical then. And then last season was supposed to be the year. Injuries kind of derailed that plan. Yeah. So I'm just excited to be like, all right, let's see what this fucking kid actually has. Because not the hottest of takes here, but like, we got a decision to make on Bo Bichette soon too. So.
Mm-hmm.
We got to start seeing what else we've got if we're going to dish out $300 million for Bo Bichette or move on. Yeah. Anyways, what do you think of Addison Barger? Are you excited for this? Do you think the hitting skills will translate?
I'm intrigued. I mean, one thing that Addison Barger has done is found his footing at every major league or at every minor league level that he has played at, right? And he has had some bumps in the road. He has had some injuries to overcome. He has had some plateaus, which I think is really important as a developmental tool, or as something that a player has to go through, is they've got to hit those plateaus where it just feels like they aren't improving anymore. This kind of goes for anything in life, right? Like when you're striving to get good at something, you're going to feel the first amount of work and effort you put into that, you're going to notice your increases. You're going to notice your gains. You're going to notice, even like talking, working out, right? You're going mm-hmm. to notice right away the little things. But then you hit that plateau, and a lot of it is about being mentally strong enough to glide through that and continue to hit the next ramp upwards, right? So Addison Barger has managed to do that. This is the next logical step for him, which is his major league debut. I think it's exciting for a guy. He's a top 10 prospect in the Blue Jays system. He's one of the more highly touted position players, and he's been putting up the numbers this year. He deserves the call up. Good for him. I'm excited to see what he does.
By the way, career trajectory for Addison Barger that I was referring to. Drafted in the sixth round, 2018. 2022, he was in High A Vancouver. Hit 300 through 69 games. Nice. Got promoted to Double A. Hit 313. Even better. Finished the season in Buffalo. Final 8 games, hit 355 with an OPS of 1122. Yeah, that'll make your eyes pop going into the offseason. And then last year, to follow that up, hit 247, an OPS of 745. So really came back down to earth last season. But again, he played Dunedin, Florida Coast League there, and Buffalo. So three different levels as he kind of like worked through rehab and injuries and stuff. 88 games with the Bison last season, hit 250. But yeah, looks good again this year.
His power numbers have been good. Like, batting average aside, his power numbers have been good, and that's really what we're hoping here, is that we can continue to see him hitting some bombs and some doubles, which he has done all season long in AAA. So hopefully he comes in and can continue with the hot stick.
All right. Rest of mailbag. Let's get to that then. Randy on Patreon.
Oh, Scott, I've just talked myself into a snooze. I need to wake my brain up. Hold on. Hard reset. Here we go. Okay. Randy on Patreon says, hey guys, my panic level on Ricky Tiedemann is at an about an 11 right now. Talk me off this ledge. Can you do
okay,
it?
Okay. So,
Tiedemann?
This is not going to talk you off the ledge, Randy. Unfortunately, I'm right on the edge with you, and we're going to take this jump together. Yeah, it is not good news, and it actually does make sense. This is something that I think that the Blue Jays have been trying to avoid, which is the fact that he very well, it's an elbow problem, and it's probably a Tommy John type of scenario, and I think this is why they're getting a second opinion right now. He was continually shut down last season too and struggled to get innings. Every time he'd ramp up, he would have some serious success. I mean, you look at the Arizona Fall League at the end of the year last year, he was hitting 99 with his fastball. He was locating. He was dominant. He went to the All-Star game in the Arizona Fall League. He was named the pitcher of the year in the Arizona Fall League. He showed some real, real promise and some major steps forward. But if you look back through 2023, he was shut down two different times, both of them elbow issues, right? They always, the word's mom, right? Like they always like keep it really tight-lipped when it comes to shit like
upper
this.
Upper body soreness, and yeah.
Upper body soreness, inflammation in the arm. But it, once you start hearing inflammation in the elbow a couple times, it should make you nervous. I know it made me very nervous, and to see it be come back in 2024, you know, like they shut him down in spring training, hoping to get his elbow under control. The truth is, you see this with pitchers all the time, and it sucks because if he does need Tommy John surgery, that's 12 to 18 months. And then you also see a guy coming off of Tommy John surgery, he normally needs a year of to get back to where he was, right? To be the pitcher he was before the injury. So let's say a two-year span, that puts us in 2026, Ricky Tiedemann being 24 years old before he truly makes an impact on this team. Yeah, that's scary as all get out. And honestly, there's more bad news within this Blue Jays system. A couple more of their top-rated pitching prospects also currently in shutdown, Brandon Barriera.
Mm-hmm.
He was, of
say.
Course, the first-round draft pick for this team in 2022, highly touted. He had some shutdowns last year as well, but he finally, so he was so highly touted, and he kind of fell off that highly touted ranking that he was at. Just they didn't like the shape he came into camp in. There was a few things that they didn't like that happened. Again, 18-year-old kid, let's not drag him through the coals here, but at 19 to now need to be shut down as it looked like he was really finding his footing in Vancouver. It is a bummer. And this is another scenario where fingers crossed it's not Tommy John. And if it is, fingers crossed that they jump and do it and don't drag this out another year. And then it's Tommy John in 2025. But so Brandon Barriere. And then lastly, Landis Moraitis, who has literally put himself on the map over the last 6 months with this team, become one of the most highly touted prospects in pitching prospects in the Blue Jays system. Same thing. Also just shut down. Also with elbow tightness and inflammation. Pitchers, man.
Look, here's the silver lining. They're young.
Yes.
Ricky Tiedemann. Is this premature to say I think we can close the book on him contributing to the Blue Jays this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's like going into spring training, that was a real question was he might break camp with the team. Like that was the maximum optimism, but still, right? Like that was a real question. And if he doesn't, it was the, well, how long are they going to manipulate service time before they bring him up? Or like, what does he need to do to, you know, make that next step? And now I just feel like, oh, that's definitely not like we can just
stop factoring that into our equation of team construction of like, well, if you say Kikuchi comes back down to earth and struggles and whatever, then, you know, at least we got Ricky Tiedemann that we can call up and be that power lefty. And it's like, nope, I just don't. I think that's it.
It is. And you're really touching on the most dangerous part of this game when it comes to the pitching injuries to guys like Ricky Tiedemann. Tiedemann, of course, that first layer of depth for the big league team. Yeah. I mean, the Blue Jays have assembled a roster of starting pitchers that have been incredibly durable. I think it's safe to say that Ross Atkins has targeted pitchers with that aspect more so than velocity, more so than any sort of pay rate. He wants his pitchers on the mound and has succeeded at that. I know there's
we're not wasting money paying guys not to play. So there's that. That's
even bringing that up, Scott, just shows how much you love Atkins. I mean, if that's how you want to take that, go ahead. but it's impressive. Yeah. You look at Jose Berríos and the amount of pitching he has done, the amount of innings he's put in for this team. You look at Yusei Kikuchi. You look at Chris Bassett, career year last year. I mean, it's obvious longevity is something that this organization values and is trying to get out of their pitchers and has somewhat succeeded at. Now, the pitcher development side of things just has not gone this organization's way. And I mean, this is another real chink in the armor with Ricky Tiedemann going down, right? Like it just really eliminates that insular depth that you were counting on in case, knock on wood, bad tacos appear this year and a pitcher goes down.
So the consensus there, sorry, Randy, is that, yeah, panic on Ricky Tiedemann.
Panic!
This year's a write-off, but don't worry, he's still young. So there's lots of reason to believe that 4 or 5 years from now, he can be pitching in the bullpen for us and giving us panic attacks at the major league level.
Okay. Let's not quite be so negative. It is a nice tip of the cap to Nate Pearson, though.
there we go.
By the way, Adam and I not doctors and have no more information than you do. So this second opinion has not been released yet. We're being incredibly negative, but it's just the amount of shutdowns Ricky Tiedemann has had over elbow inflammation and elbow tightness in the last 18 months is very concerning. And it just feels like we are coming to a decision as to whether they actually do the surgery or not.
Last week there was, I mean, to call it a trade rumor is generous. There was, it was thrown out there. Jay's interested in Christian Yelich. He'd be a fit for the team. Sure. Would you, Ricky Tiedemann, Alek Manoah, Nate Pearson, all three of them for Christian Yelich?
Are we eating Christian Yelich's money too? Or does giving up those high-end prospects make the Brewers eat half that salary?
I don't know who's taking the money. Yeah, that's a good question. I'd pay all the money.
I don't like Ricky being a part of that, but I mean,
okay, so that's, for, I guess that's what I'm trying to draw for, out of you.
If we're not going to see him for 2 years, I mean, I don't know.
Christian Yelich contract, because he is a former like MVP hitter.
Yes.
Signed a mega deal and then stunk for like 3 years, but now he looks good again.
Yeah, he does.
So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years left at $26 million a year, and he's 32 years old. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's George Springer. We're taking on another George Springer contract. I don't know.
Yeah, but a lefty. Everybody loves a lefty.
Everybody loves a lefty.
All right, let's get to Kevin Kiermaier then. No, we already talked that right off the top. Kevin Kiermaier out. Who takes his spot? That was from Jenna.
Yes,
we talked Addison Barger right off the top. So There you go. Yeah. Sorry, Jenna. You're getting your credit for the question now. Generic username on YouTube says, Scott, I don't want to sound like I'm a huge Ross Atkins fan, but I'm a huge Atkins fan. Oh, they're quoting you on that. I think that's a false quote they're attributing to you in jest. So.
Oh, no, I love how Jay's fandom has become. It's either black or white. There is no gray area anymore. Atkins is ruining this team. I've stated numerous times, I think Ross Atkins should have been replaced during this offseason. I think he'd been given his run. He had done some good things. He'd done some bad things and just didn't have it within him to move the team to where they had to be to win in the playoffs. That is my opinion on what Ross Atkins has done. To sit around and act like Ross Atkins hasn't done any good things, personally, I think it's fucking insane. I would far rather there be a different general manager at the helm right now in 2024. But to act like I'm a huge Ross Atkins fan because I said that Ross Atkins has targeted pitchers and has been pretty good at targeting pitchers that have really worked out in the long run for this team. I mean, Ross Stripling, Robbie Ray, Yusei Kikuchi, Jose Barrios, Chris Bassett, Kevin Gausman, like these were all Ross Atkins signings. They've all were signed under what market value is now looking back. They've all been incredibly valuable to this team and are the reason this team is still a contender. The Toronto Blue Jays, their offense sucking and not being good enough, and this being a non-contending team, are not tied together. Because this offense isn't enough. This team is a contender. And it is going to drive us nuts for the whole season. Is this team a wild card team? I mean, at the beginning of the season, I guessed, yes, they are. I still think they are going to be a wild card team. You look at what's going on in the AL West. You look at what's going on in the NL West. The Los Angeles Dodgers have the same record as the Toronto Blue Jays. Every fan base panics. And if me stating that Ross Atkins should have been replaced this offseason, he hasn't done enough to replace to bolster the offense, but to say that he's done a good job targeting pitchers and signing them and locking them up long-term makes me an Atkins fan, I guess.
You know what? Here's the thing. I think to be a Blue Jays fan is like, I think the analogy here is that Ross Atkins is like the Justin Trudeau.
Oh my God. I love it. Yes.
Right? It's like, I'm a patriot. I love Canada. So I have a fuck Trudeau sticker on my truck. Right? And it's like, okay. Yeah. You don't like a lot of stuff he's done. Cool. But then if like Justin Trudeau announced tomorrow, hey guys, I accidentally like invented a way to do like nuclear fusion and make that possible with like no radioactive downside. And like the whole world just universally agreed, like, this is the best thing that's ever happened for humanity. Incredible. Well done, Justin Trudeau. And then people would still be there with their fuck you Trudeau stickers being like,
yeah.
Nope. How can you fucking support this guy? Like, and that's what it is with Ross Atkins. It's like,
it is.
There's so much hatred towards him.
He's the Justin Trudeau of
Major League Baseball.
Of the Toronto Blue Jays, of baseball.
It's, you're just acknowledging like, hey, yeah, don't like a lot of stuff. This guy's made a lot of bad moves. I've been calling for him to get fired. Here's one thing he did right or has done right or is continuing to do right. What is wrong with cheering for your team to be successful? Like, it's just weird how some people just like want him gone so bad that they're like, I don't even want him to make any good moves.
Yeah.
I just want him to make nothing but bad moves so that he'll be gone. And are we talking about Trudeau or are we talking about Atkins? You can't tell from what I just said. That's the point.
Exactly. No, and it's true. And I mean, listen, there is examples of this throughout baseball. I know that being in San Diego was awesome talking to all the Padres fans because they had a lot of similar sentiments towards some of their players, right? This is one thing I got into such a good conversation with the guy I was sitting next to, and he was talking about how, yeah, it took a year transition for Jake Cronenworth to move to first base and get his feet under him. It took a year transition for Manny Machado to be the player he was when he first came. Like when he first went to the Padres, they really thought that that deal was going to be a nightmare. And then, I mean, it turned out so well, they re-upped on him, right? Fernando Tatis Jr. moved from shortstop to
right field.
Right field and had big time growing pains. And now is one of the best outfielders in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're watching the same thing happen right now. And I know that Ross Atkins got torn to shit for the Dalton Varsho trade. We're seeing, and I'm not saying Varsho is fixed and that the trade is evened out, but you know what? Dalton Varsho has looked way better this year. The changes he's made to his swing are starting to pay dividends. We're watching that power come back. His speed on the base path has been incredible. He's literally been everything that he was touted to be. He is looking like the player I wanted 6 months before they went out and got him.
Yeah.
Jose Berríos brought in, struggled for a year, right? Struggled for that. I mean, he came in 2021. He had a good September with the Blue Jays out of that trade deadline. And then 2022, they revamped his delivery, and it took him a full year to become literally who he is right now, which is a dominant top of the rotation starter for this team. Look at Yusei Kikuchi. Everyone was ready to literally throw him off a cliff after that first year. And there's just life stuff that comes with moving to a new country, to a new organization, to a new way of doing things, and not everyone transitions the same way. I had a tweet yesterday where I was like, I'm not going to try and remember it. I'll just pull it up here. Guys who took a year once coming to Canada to settle in. Jose Berríos, Yusei Kikuchi, Dalton Varsho. Guys who slapped Canada's ass the second they landed. Robbie Ray, Chris Bassett, Justin Turner. Right? Like, yeah. Some guys come in and they're just ready to go. There isn't that transition.
Yeah.
Do I wish all ballplayers were like that? Of course I do. But to write a 26-year-old off like Dalton Varsho was written off last year, over a 21-year-old who hasn't proven himself yet and a guy with on an expiring contract. Listen, and I still think that the Diamondbacks, that trade definitely leans towards them as the win. But, I mean, Lourdes doesn't even count in that trade anymore.
All right. I can't dive into that whole thing again.
I mean, he counts. Yeah, like you can't not discount what he did for the Diamondbacks last year. And boy, he sure would have been nice to have as the Blue Jays, but like he was a free agent last year. So anything that he accomplishes now should not be measured in the trade. That's all I'm saying.
I'll give you that. If Lourdes Gurriel goes on to win a Silver Slugger this year and is MVP of the league, we still could have just
re-signed
him.
I still don't think
the
Jays would have re-signed him. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, everybody. That rant really felt like I was defending Atkins at the end, and I'm not. I'm just saying, like, you know, there is a transition period, and we've watched it firsthand numerous times as Blue Jays fans. Guys come to the Jays and take a year before really seeing their true colors. And fingers crossed we're seeing what Dalton is all about for real now.
Benji on Twitter says, you guys and every other Vlad apologist out there keeps jumping to defend that giant fraud. Just DFA him and go get someone who can actually hit a baseball. This guy's got a fuck Trudeau sticker on his bumper for sure. For sure he does.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know what to say to that. Sure. DFA him. Give him away for free. Vladdy's worth nothing.
Yeah. I don't even want a compensatory pick for sure.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know. I mean, we can talk Vladdy for a second here. Obviously, that error last night, devastating to watch. We're going to watch every single guy on that field make a bonehead play at some point. It is too bad that the three runs that it wound up costing the Jays was the difference in the game. It's also too bad that this offense scores two runs and needed two runs to fucking win the game. All right.
Yeah.
It's a bummer for Kevin Gausman, who pitched an absolute gem. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, his best start of the year. Good to see him looking like he should. I don't know.
I don't even
know how to argue with DFA Vlad. Like, I mean,
I know it's delusional. It's
just like,
you could be disappointed in him, but to say he can't hit is like, this has always been the thing with Vlad, though. Is like, anytime you have the conversation of like, oh, is he a bust? Is he whatever? It's like, yeah, he might never be who he was in 2021 ever again. So by that standard, yeah, disappointing failure. But also, the floor on Vlad is still going to be like way better
above
than
average floor. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's hard to be like, he's not.
He's disappointing because we all had the expectations of a perennial MVP candidate, and he's not that.
But to act like he's Paul DeYoung is just.
Yeah. Now, if we want to entertain spiraling, I'll entertain it for a second here, okay? Let's say Vlad is done as a Blue Jay. This front office is in a very precarious spot where they need to make some major decisions that are going to affect the future of this organization for the next decade. And that's coming up very quickly here.
We do have a question.
Will
about
it be
that.
At the trade deadline? Go ahead.
We have a question coming up about this. So let's just pause where you're going with that spiraling, and then we'll get into it.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Two questions from now, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Next question, Jeffrey, on Patreon says, "Oh, and another thing," he had said a thing. That thing's not making mailbag, but this is. Oh, and another thing. Can we get some IKF love? I've been telling anyone who would listen that he is a gold glove third baseman and is a very good hitter approach-wise. Chapman who? Think of the money saved as IKF holds down third base for the incoming Palmigiani. Trade Kirk. Vladdy can really hit the ball, .. into the ground. Springer is our Vernon Wells type albatross contract now. 8 errors all season so far, and half are bows. So, love for IKF, nobody else.
Yeah. I will say IKF has impressed me. He has had some good at-bats. He's hit with 2 outs, something we haven't seen a lot of. He defensively has impressed me as well. He's a very, very good third baseman, better than I had given him credit for. My hatred of the Yankees blinded me a little. I will check that box as to why I may have disrespected IKF more than I should have. I know the big thing the big sticking point with IKF is his price, which is not on the player. Right. Of course, he's going to sign a 2-year, $15 million deal. If he thinks he's only going to get 5 and the Jays offered him that, of course, he's like, oh, shit, an extra $2 million a year. Yeah, I'm in. Like, let's do that. Mm-hmm. I think it does give the Jays flexibility that they didn't have before. And I don't think that it's the glaring bumble that maybe some fans feel like it is. I think that he's going to continue to be a pretty defensively above average player and is going to give the Jays the opportunity to merry-go-round this positional team that they put together where how did you put it again? Can you play?
Oh, can you
second
play
base?
Second
and,
base? Yeah. How's that go? If you, I don't know.
Rewind it if you're listening to this.
Yeah. Either way.
It was so eloquent back then. Why butcher it now?
Yeah, it was eloquent. Yeah. Yeah. No, IKF has been a pleasant surprise. I will say that. Absolutely.
One nice thing with IKF as opposed to Matt Chapman, too, is I think Matt Chapman was so established as our third baseman that the way this, all of the second baseman that we have or whatever, like all the flexibility to like play the hot bat or go into matchups, you know, platooning lefties versus righties or whatever, was just like, you couldn't really do that at all with Matt Chapman last year. It was like, well, if he's healthy, he's our third baseman because of course he is.
Yeah.
Whereas now you can go like, okay, well, IKF doesn't really match up well against this type of pitcher. So we're putting Ernie at third and Schneider's at second. Like you would never do that with Matt Chapman on your team. He was just too much like a no-brainer defensive stalwart at third base, I guess. Like however it was viewed was like he's immovable the same way Bo, if healthy, is our shortstop.
I think part of it, too, is that the Blue Jays still had big plans of trying to lock Chapman up long term. So going into last season, they were like, yes, we're going to do everything we can to make this
be a positive, happy relationship.
Attractive to Chapman. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. This is the big one, Scott. My cousin Jordan in Saskatoon texted me. Says everyone can see our starting rotation is elite and locked up beyond the Bo and Vlad era at pretty good prices. I can't bear to think of wasting this rotation by letting Bo and Vlad both leave for nothing but compensatory draft picks. Am I crazy for thinking this offseason we restock the cupboards by trading away Bo and Vlad and getting two massive hauls in return? I did not respond to Jordan. Jordan, this is my response.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It would be completely irresponsible of this front office and this organization to get nothing for Bo and Vlad if that is the route they're going to go. So if they have decided that Bo and Vlad is not going to be a part of this long-term future that the Blue Jays are building, then they have to move him and they have to get as much as they can for him. That is the only responsible way to run this organization. Is it going to happen? I don't know. I think that they're going to try and make a choice and sign one of them. That is the hope.
How
Bo is struggling mightily right now, but just a reminder to everyone, Bo had a, what was it, a 110 OPS plus going into late August last year, and then had one of the hottest Septembers we've seen, or not last year, sorry, 2022, and finished with like a 130 OPS. So you can correct a lot of things with a really, really good month.
Well, he is a little bit streaky. I mean, I think a lot of hitters are, but he's like streaky with a high floor, and this is just like the lowest we've seen his floor be. I don't know what it is. Is it a fireable offense on Ross Atkins if we lose both to free agency?
I mean, I said it was a fireable offense if he fucked up Manoah, and he did. So, I mean, in this world, he's already gone. I don't know, man. Absolutely. I don't particularly want to see this front office as the one to rebuild this team if that's the route they wind up going. You shouldn't get to rebuild twice. That is just a big red flag. No fucking way Rogers Communication should let this front office rebuild a second time. What are we doing here? Like, I get the three strikes, you're out idea, but like, what, over 30 years? How long are we going to give these guys? Like,
Scott, you're really trying to ingratiate yourself with the Ross Atkins hatred here. I love it.
Yeah, well, I just like...
You're like, see, I'm not a Ross Atkins fan. Look.
Well, I'm going to cheer for this team to win in 2024, and like, I hope that they do, but My goodness, man. Like, would you wish to see Atkins and Shapiro at the helm of a second rebuild?
Depends. Honestly, I'd be open to it if we continue to be a playoff contender through the rebuild. This is okay. So this is where I'm at. I did some looking at like our payroll, who's locked up, what money's coming off the books. With Bo and Vlad, if they both leave in free agency, like if, okay. First of all, I am now a advocate. I am pro trading both of these guys in November of this year if they are not under contract. That's where I'm at.
If they are not under contract, yes.
Right.
I agree.
So
if they're not going to sign an extension.
I think as soon as this season is done, we don't fuck around. We don't try and lowball them or get cute with offers. Or we do, but we realize that like there isn't like a bunch of back and forth to go. We keep pursuing these like top tier prospects and then missing out and then doing plan B instead, right? Like the Dalton Varsho move, I think we mostly agree now. It's established canon that part of the reason that happened was because the Blue Jays thought we were getting Masataka Yoshida out of Japan. And then at the last minute, he went to the Red Sox. And then there was a little bit of a, oh, we didn't get our guy. We need to do something. Whatever. And then like this offseason, it was like fucking all steam ahead on Shohei Ohtani. And then that didn't work out. And who did we add? Nobody. And I just can't stand the thought of we were in on them until the end with Bo and Vlad. Like they're both free agents at the same fucking time. And the thought that like, oh, we had competitive offers on the table with both of these guys. Unfortunately, yeah, no. One went to Arizona and one went to LA Dodgers and darn, we missed out on both of them.
No, that would be completely like, unacceptable.
That's
that
unacceptable.
Completely unacceptable, yeah.
So that's where I'm like, we just got to, whatever our fucking money is that we have been kind of, Shapiro and Atkins have to know for the last 7 years, 5 years, whatever. Eventually, we're going to have to pay these kids. Here's what we're budgeting for it. Whatever, right? Whether it's $200 million or $350 million, or somewhere in the middle for each of them. Offer them whatever we actually want to spend or can afford to spend. And then either they take it or they leave it. And if they leave it, we move on. And we say, okay, we're fucking trading you then. Good luck. We're going to get like 3 or 4 top 10 prospects back for each of you. I don't know.
And
look at this!
You know
look
what?
At this pitching staff.
Maybe there is a scenario here where you are correct, where maybe there doesn't need to be a full teardown, and this team can remain competitive.
Look at this! Look at this! I want to just go down the list of our pitchers, right? Like Gausman, we've got for this year plus 2 more, so he's here beyond that Bo and Vlad decision, right? Barrios, he's here for 4 more years beyond this season. Kikuchi, I'm ready to give an extension to right now. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, especially with the news of Ricky Tiedemann going down.
Right. Yariel Rodriguez, he's on the books for 4 more seasons
Five
as
years.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still early with him. I don't know.
Absolutely.
But yes. Also, like, worst case
early
scenario.
Early.
We've got
early gains in
two
one,
studs
yeah.
And 2 more, like, guys you feel pretty good about, right? And then beyond that, you just go, all right, well, Vlad's not on first. George Springer, you're not outfield anymore. You're playing first for us. Right? Let's go sign someone in the outfield that can hit. Let's go, like, spend some money in free agency. Hey, Juan Soto, also a free agent that same fucking offseason. Right? Like, this is my wild offseason plan for this offseason. Is we trade Bo and Vlad,
And then every fucking red cent we were going to give them next year, we give to Juan Soto just for him this year. We give him the $600 million or $550 million or whatever. And he comes and plays right field for us. George Springer moves into first, and that's our team. And I feel pretty fucking good about that. And then I'd if Ross Atkins pulls that off, I mean, that's a major shakeup. But I'm cool with riding that wave out, if that's how the team's constructed in 2025.
Well, we're getting crazy. And this is what I was going to earlier on spiral into. So, okay. Aroldis Martinez completely ripping the cover off the ball this season in AAA. He has shown that he can hit for average. He has shown that he can hit for power. His offense has been major league ready in 2024. But the big asterisk next to Aroldis Martinez is his defense sucks. They moved him. He was originally a shortstop. That was his natural position. They then decided they're going to move him to third base. That did not work out. They're like, okay, let's move to second. So in this scenario, if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is no longer a part of this team's plan, how does Aroldis look at first base?
Yeah, okay? That works for me. Yeah.
I can just see Ron Washington in Moneyball right now being like, it's incredibly difficult. But move him to first base. I mean, this is the thing, right? If you, Aroldis Martinez is actually starting to excite me again. I was very excited about the guy as a 20-year-old. He had those bumps in the road, if you will, over his 21 season where he was still hitting for power, but he was putting up like a 100 batting average. And off-speed pitches in AA were confusing the shit out of that kid. But he got it together, right? Yeah. He's hitting .333 right now in AAA. He's making it very difficult to pitch to him as a member of that Buffalo Bisons team. And if he continues to put up these type of numbers, so this is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Keep an eye on Buffalo. If we start to see Aroldis Martinez taking some reps at first base, that might be a little bit of a hint as to the plan this Blue Jays front office has moving forward.
Maybe worth keeping an eye on. I think Vladdy feels like a safer bet to return. I'd rather have Bo. I don't think Bo's coming back.
No.
I think he's gone. Honestly, I'm starting to warm up to the idea of, okay, I'm warming up to the idea of trading him this mid-season this year. And that's, I know. I know. The looks you're giving me are like,
I don't know. I get it.
But if Bo went down with an injury this year, do you think it's a write-off for this team? Like, do you think our playoff hopes are out the window if Bo had a season-ending injury? I don't think so. Probably. I don't think so.
Maybe not.
I think between like all the second basemen we have.
You're like, Scott, we're not scoring runs anyways. What does it matter?
We're not scoring runs. We got all these second basemen who could play short. I think with our pitching as good as it is and a scrappy young core of like Schneider, Clement, whatever, plus the other guys.
Barger. Yeah.
Barger, like, I feel like we could just like kind of fall ass backwards into like a 92 win season without Bo Bichette. And I also think, because this is just me like playing out the, should we trade these guys in November? Fantasy, in my, not fantasy, but like mental exercise. If we're going to trade them in November, how much more do we get if we trade them in August? Like August 1st. I don't want to say trade both of them in August, but like Bo doesn't seem happy. I feel like he's already got one foot out the door. At least Vlad kind of makes comments here and there about wanting to stay in Toronto. I just haven't ever seen that from Bo of like, oh yeah, hope we can get a deal done. Would love to stay here, but I also
don't see any journalists asking him that question, and I wonder if that's intentional because they know he's not going to give them a good answer. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, I don't know, if we can get four top 10 prospects for Bo in November, maybe we can get five if we trade him now. Like, Dodgers need a fucking shortstop. Only problem is they don't have a bunch of prospects that excite me.
Mr. Mack, it is rare that I disagree with you, but I hate this idea so, so much.
I love the idea.
Making a big decision come the offseason, but I just feel like moving a piece like Bo that is such a instrumental part of this core, or has been over the years, it's just going to shake the team up too much. I can't see it being good.
I just think this is just me reading the tea leaves and watching the broadcast and watching the way guys celebrate and who's involved and who's standing close and who's not fully engaged. And it just kind of seems like he's like not invested in this team the same way everybody else seems to be all pulling in the same direction. Like, I feel like Vlad and Springer and Varsho and Justin Turner and all the kids are kind of like together. And then I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just the one piece that I think we could get a lot for, not necessarily hurt the team. And I, again, this is just like me. I'm having a pivotal moment this season where, like, last year it would have been crazy to trade him midseason. And I'm starting to feel like this season people would be okay with it. And that's just, I'm just acknowledging that that is a weird place for my brain to even be entertaining the idea.
Yeah.
Right. So the next months are going to be insane.
The idea you're putting out there. Yeah. No, you're 100% right, man. The next 9 months are going to be incredibly instrumental in the direction of this organization over the next decade, which is a wild thing to say and a wild thing to see coming up. And maybe you're right, man. I mean, you look at this pitching, you look at how many years they're locked up for and how solid they've been and how durable they've been. And I mean, I know that you can't rely on a pitching staff to just be healthy 100% of the time, all the time. Like, every guy is going to go through some bumps and bruises, but they do have one of the more durable pitching staffs in all of baseball, and they don't score runs. So if you don't score runs, like, maybe swapping Bo and Vlad out for two other guys isn't that huge of a deal. I don't know. I mean, it really feels like you're ripping out the backbone that is this offense, talking about Bo and Vlad not being here, but we haven't really seen them be the offensive engine we were hoping they'd be at. I don't know, man.
I just think of, like,
and you would get good return. Like, this is the thing, is I you know, it, depending on what direction you wish to go, but maybe there is a scenario where you can get a young major league ready guy who's going to step right in, and then a couple of,
that's what I mean. Like the Nationals.
Yes.
If they were going to just not be able to re-sign Juan Soto anyways, at least they have CJ Abrams.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, if we could get a CJ Abrams or two out of the, like, I know not every prospect works out, right? But, like, you get rid of Bo and Vlad and you go, okay, but in return, we got Jackson Holliday and CJ Abrams and Jackson Chirillo. Like, we just got like three, like,
we got all the Jacksons.
We got the Jackson five coming back, you know, like, but you just go, okay,
no, I do get
our fucking pitching is still elite. Mm-hmm. Our, like, core is still like Varsho and whatever. And you plug and play around that. Right. And then you go, and then we got a couple of, like, young, cheap contract 21-year-olds who, like, are mashing, you know, and you go, I feel good about that team again. I don't know.
It's not impossible.
Yeah. All right. Last one. And then let's get out of here. Scott, from Metal Maniac on Patreon, says, not sure if there's some sort of uncool connotation surrounding the term circle of rust, but when the circle of trust segment returns,
perhaps counter this with Circle of Rust. So last week we had the call for Circle. No, we had three studs and a dud was requested to be returned. So that'll be back on Friday as well. Now we're getting calls for Circle of Trust to return. And I love the idea of a Circle of Rust because that's where Nate Pearson's hanging out right now.
Yeah.
But Circle of Trust this Friday. You ready for it?
I think it's time to do a Circle of Trust. Yeah.
Circle of Trust. Okay.
Jordan Romano, 100 saves. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Nice. Major milestone.
For all the shit talk that man gets from this fan base from time to time, you see his numbers since 2021, and you're just like, oh, he is a top three closer in baseball.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, you can argue emotions and feelings and how you feel, but like the numbers over a 3-year span, that's not even a small sample size. That's just, he just is a top three closer in baseball.
Yep. Totally. Okay, that's it for mailbag.
Thank you so much, everybody, for all of your interaction this week. We had all sorts of messages. If we didn't get to yours, apologies. Try again. That's all we can say. I do try and switch up, especially when it comes to Twitter and YouTube comments, stuff that's outside the Patreon, outside the paywall, right? So if I didn't get to you, please just send another message, right? And we'll try and get to it next week. At Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. You get that Patreon bump automatic right to the mailbag if you are a member of that, as well as MLB Mondays and instant access to all of our content and interviews. Thanks again, everybody. A big appreciative tip of the cap to the grounds crew. Love you guys lots. It's been an interesting first month of the season. Let's go, Jays.
Go, Jays, go. Cheers.